The Sphinx competition was created in Detroit 24 years ago for young Black and Latinx classical string players, offering them a chance to be recognized with cash awards, mentorship, and scholarships. The Sphinx organization today is a nonstop, year-round initiative whose mission is transforming lives through the power of diversity in the arts. Afua Dworkin is president and artistic director of the Sphinx Organization, and I so appreciate you taking the time during this incredibly busy week to talk with WMUK listeners about the competition and more. Thank you so much, Afua.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'd like to start by confessing I had a dream last night, a nightmare. I was required to play on a stage for 3 hours with just a penny whistle. And I can't help but think this is related to the conversation I knew I'd be having with you today. The Sphinx competition is coming up Saturday at 7 o'clock. Juniors will start the proceedings, and then the seniors will compete. What brought me back to realism is watching some of the introductory videos on your Facebook page today. The young musicians are secure, well-prepared, and excited to be part of the competition. That is correct, yes?
Absolutely. I think what our audience members can expect on Saturday is probably as far away from a nightmare as possible. I think these young artists are poised, prepared, and are just an absolute delight to listen to. And just when you reflect upon the resiliency and the level of preparation that particularly this year has imposed during the pandemic of having to record all of this material without any editing possibilities, in their respective homes or churches or another concert venue on stage, for us to be able to hear them, it's a pretty colossal effort, and we applaud all of them.
How else have you managed the competition during this COVID-19 pandemic? How will it become a virtual competition?
Sure. Well, typically it is, of course, live. And a big aspect of the experience of the competition is everybody coming together. It always feels like a family reunion. Mm-hmm. And at times for new members of the family, it might feel like a family reunion where you meet people who are related to you in a profound way, but you've never met before. And that palpable energy of watching that and being a part of that experience is really a big privilege. So this year, we've, of course, had to pivot to the digital space due to the pandemic. But we've been able to guide the artists who were selected from a competitive pool from around the nation and down to 18 musicians. In fact, this year, during the pandemic, our applicant pool for the competition grew by more than 20%. It's pretty remarkable that there would be more interest and a greater number of artists actually recording the preliminary tapes or the recordings to submit their applications and really to pursue this in this challenging time. So we're really pleased with that. But in each division, there are 9 artists who were selected by a national jury. And then onward to the semifinal round of the competition, that's where the biggest difference came in. Typically, the semifinals are live in Detroit. So this year, they were held last week, all digitally. So all of these performances were recorded and then live streamed on our website as well as social media. And our jury from across the world, there are 7 jury members, and they reside everywhere from Ann Arbor, Michigan, to Philadelphia, New York, Berlin, the Netherlands. They're really all around the world. We're listening to these young artists and adjudicating, and they were able to select 3 finalists, or laureates as we refer to them, to advance to the final phase of the competition. So now on Saturday, we are going to hear the top 6 artists who will cumulatively compete for more than $100,000 in prizes, including the Robert Frederick Smith Prize, the top prize of $50,000. and as well as the Audience Choice Award, which is a special thing that we're able to do, both in the junior and the senior division this year. And the competition is always supported by the DT Energy Foundation. And the Audience Choice Awards being made possible by the Mercedes-Benz Financial Services. So we're grateful to have our supporters and friends during a year like this one to still be able to award these incredible prizes to these very deserving young artists who are really shaping, I feel, the present and the future of our sector. So it's just all in all a really impressive experience to watch these young artists and be able to who are able to showcase their talents and offer so much to the audiences. I think really important to mention that as part of their competition experience, they're also engaged in a series of master classes and workshops and panel discussions about career opportunities and how artists have been able to innovate during this year. So we're holding all of those virtually as well, and it's been a delight to prepare with them and participate in the planning of these important conversations, really helping them to develop their own pathways and begin to feel like members of this family. And I think I can't wait for a time when we can all come together in person and enjoy their talents in person, but also be able to build and afford them an opportunity to really experience this connection presently and not on a screen.
Three junior finalists and three senior finalists participating Saturday at 7 p.m. in a live stream that anyone can access. The Sphinx organization is online. I think the website is Sphinx.org.
Almost. It's sphinxmusic.org.
Yes. Oh, sphinxmusic.org. Let's get that right and orient our listeners toward that website, which is such a fascinating resource beyond the chance to see these young artists come together. Are they really coming together on Saturday, or as with the semifinals, will they be at home presenting a live performance from by remote?
Yeah, actually, unfortunately, we will not be physically together with them here in Detroit.
Yeah.
So what will happen is we will be able to share with our audiences their pre-recorded performances, which will be adjudicated by our international jury panel, which is also spread around the world. So it'll be a live experience, and the results will be announced at the conclusion of the 90-minute concert there on Saturday the 30th. So while they won't be physically together, they will be together in spirit and on screen. And because of the wonders of today's technology and the expertise of our friends at the Detroit Public Television, the audiences will actually be able to get a glimpse of the reactions from these young artists as their placement is announced and as their prizes are awarded. So it will be, I'm sure, a palpable experience and really an incredible sight to see, because it's an opportunity for them to still hear one another and be able to experience the sense of victory and celebration. I should also mention that besides the competition and the six young artists competing, we will also be able to broadcast a performance by the Sphinx Symphony Orchestra, which is our professional all-Black and Latino orchestra, where the piece they'll be performing is by an incredible young composer, Carlos Simon, who is another wonderful Michigan gem, and that he received his advanced degree at the University of Michigan. But we will be performing a symphonic work by Carlos Simon as well, because typically the Sphinx Symphony will come together and also perform their own offering for the audience. And even though they can't be together, we've still managed to record the individual parts separately and then weave it all together in a singular piece. So audiences can really look forward to that as well. And they can be joined by about 12 or 1,300 people who are our participants and registrants for Sphinx Connect, our global convening that's happening also this week, beginning on Thursday, that's attracting leaders, artists, and practitioners, academicians, teaching artists from all around the world to come together and discuss issues surrounding diversity, equity, and inclusion in classical music and throughout the performing arts. So there's a lot to look forward to this week, and we hope as many folks can register and join us as possible. There's not a cost barrier to participate in the conference, so the important piece there is to welcome as many people who are interested in these ideas as possible.
I'm speaking with Afa Dworkin, President and Artistic Director of the Sphinx Organization, which, as I mentioned, has an incredibly busy week ahead, with culminating in a celebration of the six finalists in the junior and senior divisions, performances that we can all participate in and watch and even see the reactions of the prize winners. Afa, I signed up myself last Friday for Sphinx Connect. There's even a session for radio announcers, podcasters, people in media that I really am looking forward to. But it, as you said, it offers so many ways to gather ideas, to get questions answered, and to learn from leaders. And I'm very much excited about participating.
Absolutely. We're so glad that you can join us. It should be a really wonderful gathering and a conglomerate of people from all around the world. And we literally have plenary speakers from all across the country.
That's amazing.
Who are all artists and practitioners and great visionaries in our field, ranging from the president of the Andrew W. Mellon Foundation to some of the members of the Sphinx immediate family, some of the awardees from the Sphinx Medals of Excellence, and other artists who are really defining, I think, the future of classical music in many ways. So we're excited to share this experience with the world, and we hope that everyone can join us.
I'd like to end by looking back at 24 years. It was initially a once-a-year event, bringing great performers together who were Black and Latinx and giving them a showcase to show just how incredibly talented they are, and a simple concept that grew so much in 24 years. It's not just about awarding prizes to outstandingly talented young people. You have kept track of finalists, semifinalists, entrants, and have some data on outcomes of the work that the organization has done. And at this point, I should include programs for middle school, elementary school, programs that reach actually millions in our country. And I'm wondering about that data, about what outcomes you have seen, what trends are happening, what you see as positive, what you see as negative, and you can perhaps leave us with some thoughts on that right now.
Sure. It's a wonderful question, one that makes me reflect back to now nearly a quarter of a century ago. I should mention, for those who are not familiar with Sphinx, that it was founded by a multiracial violinist, Aaron Dworkin, who was at the time an undergraduate student at the University of Michigan, who essentially founded Sphinx out of the necessity he felt and inspired by his own experiences of seeing himself as the only person of color in any musical setting, be that an orchestra, a member of the audience, a classroom, you name it. So he decided to do something about it. At the time, it was an audacious idea, but one that was specific and defined as sort of a celebration, a festival, a competition for young musicians of color, much like himself, who he felt probably have gone through similar experiences and needed a community. So in some ways, that the genesis of founding Sphinx was creating a community, really empowering young people who needed a voice or an avenue for that voice to be heard. So in that way, Sphinx is very much that, except that there are many voices to be heard now. And the difference now, in terms of reflecting on a statistic or a number of areas where we're making a difference, Sphinx quickly grew to encompass four different programmatic areas, now making a difference in the lives of young people in our Flint and Detroit elementary schools, in the lives of teenage musicians from all across the country who are considering going into music for college and a career, and then onward to professional development and arts leadership, as well as now most recently entrepreneurship. Sphinx has become, in many ways, a service to the field organization in that we provide resources, we connect organizations with leaders and artists, and are in many ways a clearinghouse or really a conduit between artists and leaders in the field itself. So when we think about the difference in the solo world, prior to Sphinx's founding, it was rare to hear a musician of color solo with a major American orchestra. Now this happens a minimum of 20 times each year because of the work we've built in that sphere. You know, in American orchestras, Black and Latinx musicians comprised, at the time of Sphinx's founding, about 1.5%. And today we're closer to 4.5%. We've got a long way to go, but in the last 3 years alone, we've placed approximately 26 artists of Black or brown heritage in American orchestras through a set of training initiatives and the work of the National Alliance for Audition Support. Every summer, we serve approximately almost 100 young aspiring musicians ages 12 through 17 who are looking to potentially build a career, make a college choice that is centered around string performance. And Sphinx really does that by fostering this interest, by cultivating that talent and really connecting these young people. And, of course, we've been extremely pleased to reach more than 10,000 people through our live audiences through the work of our three touring ensembles. And that's the Sphinx Virtuosi, the professional choir we have, the choral ensemble called Accidents, as well as our Catalyst Quartet, who's touring around the country. So when we reflect back, I think these statistics are certainly meaningful. When Sphinx was 1 year old, we had two orchestral partners, and today we have 96. So, you know, we had one School of Music who was partnering with us, which is our alma mater, University of Michigan. Today, there are more than 25 music schools who partner with Sphinx. So certainly these are meaningful statistics, but perhaps the most meaningful achievement, if one could call it that, that Sphinx can claim is really its 800-plus alumni and the incredibly large, diverse, talented, and brilliant family that we've been able to build all across the world, because we have now alumni really in all continents doing work as musicians and as leaders and activists. So I think that's probably the most important achievement of Sphinx's, is building that network, that community of like-minded artists and leaders and individuals who are working to help our field realize itself and achieve that sense of excellence through diversity and representation. I think the most important piece of what Sphinx does is making our young people know and understand that they're not alone. And in fact, they stand on the shoulders of incredible artists who've come before them, that there's a legacy of excellence in classical music and performing arts as a whole. And in fact, we only build from that excellence to kind of achieve the next heights and really to benefit the field and our community.
Afa, will we see you on our screens Saturday night?
Absolutely. I will be joining it, and I will welcome the audiences and will even help deliver the news from our global jury panel, who will be in touch with me as they make their final determinations. I won't miss it for the world.
Sphinxmusic.org is where you can find full details on the competition, as well as Sphinx Connect, which starts Thursday evening, I believe. And I wish you all the best. I really am looking forward to this weekend.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, and see you Thursday.